Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And so last week we talked about how love thinks no evil. You can just skip that first part of that because we're not going to sing that song this morning, but remind us of that song about asking the Lord's love to come down and be rekindled in our hearts. And this is the one way that, and we had this verse left off with this verse, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And then in the baptismal covenant that we reaffirmed this morning along with Nina, that we had reaffirmed that we place our faith in Christ and we renounce spiritual forces of wickedness, reject evil powers, repent of our sin, accept the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil and injustice and oppression. And we talked last week also about spiritual warfare and about putting on the whole armor of God. And one more piece of that armor that we didn't talk about that week was this week's piece of putting on the truth. And stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. One characteristic of evil is iniquity. That's one part of what evil is, and that's the one that's addressed in this aspect of love, that love does not like iniquity, but love likes the truth. And so they're pitted against each other, the truth and iniquity. And so when we think about definitions of truth, it's an iniquity and things like that, they kind of occupy our mind just trying to put all that together. But iniquity is unrighteousness, but we're called to holiness. And we have been challenged to that. So we're reminded in our call that we are soldiers in the spiritual battle, fighting for truth and justice. And to commit the Timothy was invited by St. Paul in his letter to him to commit the truth to faithful people who will teach the truth to others and who will not distort it and lead people astray. And he says, and let everyone in the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And also, iniquity goes against our conscience, as Paul wrote to the Romans. And in the second chapter of Romans, he highlighted that even the people that, regardless of what their religious beliefs are, everybody has a conscience, and that God has put certain things in our conscience of humanity, of that is right and that is wrong, that is good and that is evil. And we make those choices, and so everybody, it makes that a choice. Nobody is like excluded from the opportunity to make right choices and to be a good person and to turn away from iniquity. We have that built into, comes with our, you could say, you know, it's part of our operating system as a human. It comes built in to us. So one of the big things about iniquity is that it is the idea of injustice, because that's really, if you look at the definitions of it, it boils down to that that iniquity is injustice. And there's a couple of parables that Jesus gave. One of the parable of the unjust judge, that he wouldn't hear this lady's case because he just didn't care. And the only reason he finally did was because she kept coming back every day and annoying him until he finally gave in and listened to what she had to say and gave her justice, even though he really didn't care about it. He was unjust. And an unjust steward that Jesus talked about, who was getting ready to get fired from his job, and so he went to all the creditors of his employer and worked out a deal that would cut their debt down for them in hopes that when he got fired, he would be able to go to one of them and they would be glad to give him a job. And in the dictionary of Merriam-Webster's dictionary, speaks of that injustice as a violation of the rights of another person, something that is unfair, unfairness. And when Jesus stood before Pilate, we always remember about him what he was talking about, that he was about the truth and he was bringing the truth. And Pilate, remember his question? what is truth? So that's a good question, isn't it? Something that really we've kind of been asking. Everybody asks that in some way. But Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And indicating that we are in bondage to the extent that we don't know the truth, and we're liberated to the extent that we do. And that truth is needed to make clear decisions, just like in the courtroom when everybody is asked, will you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And that's so that you can get at what the actual answers are and find out what's really going on. That's the whole point of that. And so to the point that, to the extent that that does not happen, then there's unfairness, isn't there? There's not going to be a clear answer. And that's the same with our lives. If we're not dealing with things as they really are, then our decisions are going to be wrong too. We're going to have problems there. So it's a transparency. It's when we cloud or distort the truth for whatever reason, and oftentimes it's done for political, economic, or religious advantages, and that then is a form of oppression and injustice. Truth needs to be clear and transparent, so that people are not oppressed and sent off in the wrong directions, or held back in life by something that isn't even there, something that's not even right. We think about our perception of what we feel or sense to be the truth. Sometimes in our sometimes it's what we hope and believe to be true. Think about our convictions and the truth as we understand it, how we teach it, how we use it to make decisions. Then there's an aspect that is the divine truth, that is a spiritual truth, like Jesus talked about to the woman at the well when he said that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Or in Revelation, a spirit of revelation, that where God is showing us the truth that we would not be able to discover on our own. As Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit in that, when he said the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he can hear, then he will speak and show you things to come. It's eternal. That kind of truth is eternal, the divine spiritual truth. It has no beginning and no end. It's everlasting. It's immutable. It's to be explored and discovered, as just like as in a personal relationship with somebody that we love, that we're continually growing into each other and always discovering new things and finding a greater, deeper appreciation for how they really are and for the insights that they bring and have to share and the gifts that they bring into the relationship. That's how that is. And so there it is as a relation, you know, it kind of turns it to not just a bunch of facts, but to the relationship beyond that. And really sacramentally, when we, you know, the Bible tells us about how some things like in the temple and everything like that, and in the tabernacle before, that those were not the end of it all. Those were not really the goal, but they were communication. They were pointing us to what the real truth was. So like the altar here in the church is there as an outward sign, but it's pointing us to that altar that's in our hearts. And when we take the bread that of the sacrament, and we drink the wine of the sacrament, then it's pointing us to Christ Himself within us, as Steve was bringing out in the reading today, that points to Christ Himself inside of us, working and nurturing us. And so the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And there's one of the hymns that we have. It says, Holy Spirit, truth divine, dawn upon this soul of mine. Word of God and inward light, wake my spirit, clear my sight. Jesus prayed for everybody, and this is considered His prayer for everybody. And part of that was, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so truth is is more than just the words that we say, but it's what sets us apart as believers. It's what puts us on the path to our ultimate goal of heaven. And Jesus said this on the night that he gave himself up for us, I am the way, and we talked about that in the beginning of this series, that he's the way in terms of a direction and the path and the method that we choose. Well, likewise, he is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so his teachings are true. And he prayed that we would be sanctified through that word, through those teachings, that we'd be consecrated and dedicated to God, that we would be cleansed and made holy, and that ultimately we would be brought to perfection in love through God's word and through his grace, and that highway, as we travel on that highway of holiness. So the word was made flesh and in Christ personified all that is true and just and righteous and holy. Now, so our relationship with Jesus is the truth. That's our relationship with the truth. It's when as we grow in that relationship with Christ, is the standard by which everything we look at is judged. As the prophet wrote, he is the plumb line set in the midst of Israel. He is that perfect love that we aspire to. And that's what brings us joy. Gladdens our hearts, makes us happy. That's fills us with happiness in our hearts and delights us, makes us, that's what we enjoy. As people of love, we enjoy exploring the truth and going through and trying to see what is good and what is happy and holy and what is everlasting and what, and separating that out from what is false and painful and difficult, and it increases people's unhappiness and everything. Just try to scoop those apart from each other in our lives. There's a hymn that we sang at Christmas, a couple of verses have, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And this other verse of it, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. And so as we close this morning, let this be a moment of self-evaluation to consider your relationship with the truth and how you and your friends are cultivating transparency and education in the community. Be mindful of the ways that you and those around you might be distorting the truth for personal advantage. Think of the ways that you personally are being liberated by the truth. And also the ways that you're being oppressed by its distortion. Examine yourself as to how you might be distorting the truth yourself in some cases, and in others how you may be clarifying it to others. The Bible invites us to the truth and to the joy of our salvation.